You have to add or remove dicks in order for humor to enter. Working on a nightmare, working on a nightmare, trying to lose the all what you hate to lose, all working on a nightmare. Word.
Yes, and I also have visual humor for later on today, because that's the thing that we're known for in our podcast. So, my question is, what I see here is I see two proud horses on a very busy calendar, and then I see a content cat above a horrified cat, the face of two cats. And then I have quite a bit of reflection here on the one in between those two. I want to say that it's...
This one?
No, the lower one.
Ah.
I want to say it's like hybrids of lizards and wolves ascending a hill.
Mm.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, yeah. I can see that.
Yeah.
Hey.
It's a lot of wolves.
It is a lot of wolves?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
There are like six wolves on that.
Yeah. So, well, I guess I'll begin with the... the hybrids, because it's the easiest one to explain. That's our Unity collage that our therapist had us do. So, I don't know. So I, like, because I was raised Catholic, there are, like, certain things that, like, I want to keep. And one of them is, like, the like, ritual of going to see the priest before you get married to, like, make sure that you're good.
Right,
so we went...
Right.
To like one session of our, because we have the same therapist, like one session together, and she was like, make a collage of like what you want for your life. And so I could tell you what's on there.
Well, we were constrained by what she already had pictures of.
Right
she and
had
she
a
had
of
like
folders.
A folder that was almost all wolves. So we took a lot of wolves. I mean, there were a lot
and, like,
of wolves,
wolves
to pick
are, like, family, you know, and like you know,
everybody loves wolves.
Everybody
yeah.
likes wolves.
Respect for
so
hierarchy.
We have a pair of wolves here at the top, representing a strong unity. And then we have a wolf throwing up into the mouth of a baby wolf, which represents, you know, the various members of the family, which got included.
And the dream to fly like a bird, because that's how birds feed.
That too. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have another little baby wolf eating a ball, chewing on a ball. We have a fancy man riding a magical horse.
There's a monkey, a little monkey.
With a piece of pie.
And he's eating a piece of pecan pie. Just a slice of pecan pie is going nuts on it.
And what does that represent?
Prosperity, to always have a pie in the paw.
Uh-huh.
I don't know, but that's my favorite part. We have a Venus flytrap eating a tarantula. That represents the fact that we have a Venus flytrap in our house.
Okay. That's a very direct symbol. Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff on there.
We have an ice cream sandwich because we want all
that's aspirational. And then we have at the bottom, it's a bunch of, we have some reindeer and some elk and some buffalo and stuff, just because that's cool to have at the bottom of something.
Yeah.
Those are like hold you down kind of,
Oh, and then we have two hands holding like, not arrowheads, the like bigger ones, they called the like scrapers, the hide scrapers.
Oh, okay.
Made out of stone, and that symbolizes working together.
Also,
that's
the
good.
Monkey needed a place to sit.
Yeah, the monkey needed something to hold on to.
That's really big.
It looks really good. I'm really impressed. It's really well designed too. It's rich with meaning and with style.
It's a lot of fun. I would suggest that you have a. If anybody out there is like, what should I do for premarital counseling, making a collage?
It's a goodie.
It's pretty good.
And have someone to watch you there to make sure that you're cooperating well.
Yeah. You need a facilitator.
And putting like rigid structures, like wolves, you know, that being like the big kind of boundary around what you're allowed to choose. I think that's important too, because it forces you to reimagine things in different ways, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, who knows what a monkey holding a pie would have meant in any other context?
Without all the wolves around.
Yeah.
Exactly, right? In that context, having a pie in the paw, that's a powerful situation.
It was always a powerful situation, though. Have you ever had a pie in your paw?
I have had a pie in my paw, yeah. I haven't
Rips,
for a little while, but better pie in the poor than a pie in the pantry, as they say back That's, home.
Definitely. I guess, yeah. Mole on the arms or two on the leg.
What's happening with the two drawings of the cats?
Okay, so this is a cat.
And you began with the collage because it was the easiest to explain. It took like 15 minutes.
This is just a cat.
Below this is actually Bucky Badger, the University of Wisconsin mascot.
Oh, okay. That's good.
That's them.
There's not much to them.
That's just really it.
But it's a badger?
Well, it's not a drawing of a badger. It's a drawing of a badger beanbag toy that we have.
Yeah, we have a little Bucky beanbag. And so it's a drawing of that.
Oh, it's Bucky.
Yeah.
I didn't realize Bucky was the University of Wisconsin. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's Bucky. Yeah.
I didn't mean to shit on Bucky's name.
I wasn't sure our listeners knew who Bucky was.
I think they probably do.
I would imagine so.
Buckingham B. Badger.
I think it's fair to say that more people know about Bucky than about the podcast.
Probably.
So there's a likelihood that they already know about it.
On TikTok, they're like 900 views on some of those Bucky videos.
Yeah, Bucky's killing it on TikTok.
Okay.
Mostly because like all of my followers are children.
Well, everyone on TikTok is a child.
That's
anyway,
true.
So. Yeah.
That's true.
What are you going to do?
And then you got two horses here with a very busy calendar.
Yeah, that's from my my grandmother likes to give us calendars she gets from the charities that she donates to. So this one's like the ASPCA or something. Or no, it's Save Them All, which is the animal rights organization.
Save Them All.
Yeah, all the animals.
Everyone.
Every single one.
That's cool. What does a horse symbolize that a wolf doesn't?
Horses and wolves both have souls.
Yes.
What is a horse?
I think wolves are more family oriented. Horses are more,
community.
Yeah. The larger community. Wolves are the close family. Yeah. Horses are the town.
I would say that wolves symbolize like home, because I imagine them all snuggling up when it's cold and like drinking milk and stuff. Whereas because horses, they just start running around as soon as they're born.
Right.
It's kind of like territory.
Right.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Is this good?
Yes.
And is there a belly dancer above the collage?
Oh, that's Lil Bubby. That's the Lil Bubby original. Lil Bubby's a dude as a artist on Instagram who draws like country people and then writes in hillbilly dialect like some countryism you might hear, and this one is a Christmas card from like last year, two Christmases ago, that's Mama got into the punch early and she's dancing.
Mama's done got into the Christmas spirit a little early.
Yeah, right.
And
so
and
she's
then
having,
there's Mama going like this.
She's having a good time.
Doing a little dance with the bottle or something.
That's just great. I love that shit.
Oh, that's really cool. I like it. Well, this has been a good several minutes of visual description for the podcast.
Welcome to my Zoom background.
Oh, let me take a screenshot for the Instagram. There we go. Yeah. Well, I have a segment if you want to get into it.
All right.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
So,
what it is, because this is an episode about parody songs, right? And so what I thought I would do is go to a parody website, and we could think about ways we might be able to punch up some of the humor we've seen in this parody website. So I went to the Babylon Bee. Do you know the Babylon Bee?
Oh boy.
It's like a conservative version of The Onion.
Oh no.
And it's really, really bad. It's like, it's not as racist as I thought it was going to be. It's like transphobic, like principally transphobic, and a very US chauvinist. It's also extremely, extremely unfunny. And as we all know, well, maybe some people know that the right wing is becoming better at jokes and it's making the left nervous, but you wouldn't really know it from having a look at this website. So
yeah, people keep saying that, but I haven't really seen any truth.
Yeah.
It's like Pepe the Frog isn't particularly funny. He's
just
and the left has long ago taken over frog humor.
What is frog humor? Like, is there a sample joke
like,
for the audience?
Yeah, so, okay, I can find this very quickly. So if you search the hashtag frogcore on Instagram, because frogs are famously gender fluid.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, okay. Here's a good example. So,
fucking Fneeb.
There's a little bean. Kind of looks like a frog. It's green. It's Y, and it just says "fucking" on top in small black letters, and then Fneeb, Phneeb, down below in green.
Mm-hmm.
So, Laugh Riot.
Laugh Riot.
Laugh Riot in the frog community.
Gen Z. Oh, here we go. Okay. So here's a picture, a grainy pixelated picture of a frog.
Uh-huh.
Close up. Or maybe a toad. And it says, this frog approaches. Will you A, give him your kidneys, B, give him your liver, C, pray you can run fast enough.
So that's
here's
more
fat
or less.
Fuck 5 stars with a picture of a fat frog.
That's my favorite one.
Yeah, Fat Fuck 5 stars is definitely the best.
So this is the political left taking over frog humor.
I don't know if we could make that claim necessarily, because there's no way to know from those posts what that person's political orientation is.
Well, yeah,
but
you have to really be immersed in the frog core aesthetic.
Right, and just in case some of our listeners aren't, could you explain what that might entail?
Okay, so it's a lot of pictures of frogs. Uh-huh. Frog and toad feature very prominently. Fat frogs, they're often very positive. For example, here's a little cartoon frog holding a sign that says, "Hope you are okay. Don't worry, frog is here. Don't be sad."
Oh, that's nice.
And there's usually a lot of I don't have a gender. I'm just a frog kind of thing.
Uh huh.
Going on, I can't find one right now, but you're just gonna have to trust me.
Okay, no, I will. Well, yeah, a lot of people are saying that the right is going to be is taking over humor, but there's no evidence of that, not in humor, nor in frog violence. Oh, is that a coffee that has foam shaped like a frog?
I believe it's a cake with little frogs on top.
Like in a jacuzzi?
Yeah.
And it says violence.
Yeah, it says violence.
Yeah.
It's you know, I understand, I'd say, like... 80% of it, because it's Gen Z shit, so sometimes it's just like frog and then like a pixelated frog.
Well,
anyway,
do you want to punch up some of these headlines?
Yes, yeah. Sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah, let's get to the meat.
Okay, so they're all like, I tried to find like to see if there were even funny ones, but there's really not, and I had to like really carefully avoid all like the explicitly harmful content. But I wanted to hit you off the bat with one close to home. The headline is, Cleveland Indians change name to Cleveland genderless sports players with no discernible racial features or specific ethnic background.
Man, you know what's funny about that whole thing is that they changed their name. They went to Guardians, but didn't check if anyone had taken the name, so they had to change their name back.
Really?
Cleveland Guardians.
They're not changing it back.
They're just changing it back to nothing.
I think they're just keeping it as Guardians.
The Clevelanders.
I think we'll see where that goes.
Well, and if the Guardians are made of stone, so they do technically, you know.
They are genderless and ethnicityless. That's true.
Fleshless.
They just
that's true.
They just kind of identified what happened as though it were ridiculous. let's see. How can we punch that up? I mean,
all I can think of now is frogs.
Obviously, the funniest thing to do with a Cleveland joke would be like, Cleveland Indians changed their name to local hero Cleveland Drew Carey's. And then it's like a baseball hat with like a cartoon Drew Carey head on it. A little baseball. Maybe.
Oh, that's
baseball.
Good. That's a genuine punch up. Like, that would be a genuinely funny headline.
That's
right?
My pitch. That's my pitch for them. I could do a whole article about how Drew Carey, you know, is like baseball because they're both American classics.
Right.
Or you could do you could change it to the leg lamps, because everyone here really likes leg lamps.
That's true. If you really wanted to capture the spirit of Cleveland, Ohio,
and
it's
a disembodied leg, so
what is this?
So have you ever watched the movie The Christmas Story? A Christmas Story?
I don't think so. No.
There's a lamp in it that's like just a lady's leg with a fishnet stocking and a heel.
Okay.
And then like a light bulb and a lampshade that features prominently in the film. And because it was filmed in Cleveland, Like, every fucking window in Cleveland has a leg lamp in it. And that's it. There's nothing more to it. It just doesn't... there's no meaning or anything. It doesn't go any deeper. They just sell it at the Christmas Story house.
Uh-huh.
And people like it.
But the Cleveland leg lamps, that would work, and that would get the hometown pride up and running.
Yeah, that would... I think we should... I think we can actually pitch that one to the Cleveland baseball team.
All right. Well, you go ahead and do that, and I'm going to tell you a new headline.
All right.
Joe Biden buys all of Hunter's artwork in hopes of meeting the president.
I don't get it.
So this one doesn't make any fucking sense.
So the good thing about satire is that it makes you think, doesn't it?
I like...
Let's see. How can we punch that up? How can we make this...
Wait, is there something behind this that I don't understand?
That's what I'm assuming, yeah, like, because I don't get it either. So who they're defining as the president is, I guess, where the gag is.
So I guess the joke is that Joe Biden is not the president.
Yeah,
or that that's one part. Or it's that Joe Biden is stupid and he doesn't realize that he's the president.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of, like, senility jokes that Joe Biden's a little bit old or something. I don't know if this is getting into that territory, but I couldn't work out how to punch this one up.
No, because I don't get with the Mishka.
I agree with Mishka.
I hate this joke. Yeah, I don't know what the joke is. So
does Hunter make art?
There's no joke. There's no joke. It's just a mean thing to say. So we're going to have to punch it up. We're going to have to throw away the idea that this is going to make sense at some point. But we're just going to have to find a funny thing to say about Joe Biden buying all of Hunter's artwork. And it would have to either be, I mean, easiest
Hunter
way to...
his son?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
The easiest thing would be to say something like Joe Biden buys up all of Hunter Biden's artwork to draw more dicks on it. That's the easiest way you can add humor to a situation. Or to paint over all the dicks. You have to add or remove dicks in order for humor to enter something that's, like, devastatingly unfunny. You've got to throw a dick in or take a dick out. That's all you can do. That's Mikhail Bakhtin.
Okay, this is good. We got this one done. Now we've got McDonald's employee who said "my pleasure" under fire for appropriating Chick-fil-A culture. It's kind of interesting when you think about it like that, isn't it?
All right, what can we do with this one? I mean, the easiest way to punch this up one would be
put a dick in the Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, just stick a dick inside of the hamburger.
Yeah. homophobic McDonald's employee sued for infringing on Chick-fil-A's intellectual property. Is that just unfunny the other way?
Yeah.
Oh, well. I don't care.
I still had a gap that I had to try to fill in my mind.
I mean, if you're going to make a Chick-fil-A joke, it has to be about how they don't like you.
Yeah, you can't
they do
a Chick-fil-A
joke
and pretend that they aren't homophobic at an institutional level.
Right. Okay, I didn't realize that. So that was my ignorance.
Oh, you don't
know
about the Chick-fil-A?
Okay,
I don't know what Chick-fil-A is, no.
It's a chicken restaurant that is...
it's like famous for being, like, for funding anti-gay legislation and financially supporting Trump. Allegedly. It's allegedly famous.
It's famously allegedly.
It's allegedly famous for allegedly that stuff.
And do they say "my pleasure"?
I don't even fucking know.
I've never
been I have Chick-fil-A. No fucking idea. I've been to Chick-fil-A. I didn't fucking know that was something they do.
Because I think
that's
the thing
with these jokes is too specific.
It's the kernel of humor is the idea of appropriating culture, right? That's the thing that they dislike, and that's where they're trying to make a joke out of it. But everything else is just...
That's just bunk, because Babylon Bee is appropriating onion culture.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. And they're even, like, following the kind of... Because I've seen onion headlines, and sometimes they're funny, but the onion website is not funny at all. It's just, like, effectively just, like, describes a thing and says, like, yeah, that'll work. Or something like that. That's the whole show. <Yeah. window. laughs> and there's a bit like that, like Cleveland Indians changing their name, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, that's almost the exact same. formula.
Yeah.
There's a really good Onion article from a million years ago, from back when they were a hard copy magazine,
mm-hmm.
that I carry with me in my heart, which is guy dumps load of mulch in kind of ballsy location. And it's just, it's the interviews with neighbors that are like, damn, I really didn't think he would put all that mulch right there. The nutsack on that guy. That's funny as hell to me. I think that's really funny.
That's really good. Why did they go back to that type of humor?
Oh, I'm wondering every day.
No, mate.
I'm wishing and I'm missing and I'm wondering every day.
Well, we got Babylon Bee saying, not satisfied with just having summers off, teachers push for fall, winter, spring.
That would be tight.
Is yeah, that good? Can you imagine?
Like, I unironically am pushing for...
I know, it's like a shift in the tone.
So the joke is about teachers because they hate teachers, yeah. right? But like, who right. wouldn't just have holidays forever?
Who wouldn't want that?
And yeah. getting paid forever. Like, yeah, that sounds great.
Well, and it's like the... Because their children are horrible. That's why they...
Yeah, right.
Right.
There's like no way to punch it up because it's just...
It's just like a different like approach to it.
It's just ideal.
Yeah. And there's no it's gag, really.
There's no gag.
It's just like insult or just like rudeness.
Right.
It's based on this idea that being that teachers are lazy and lazy is bad.
Uh-huh.
But lazy's not bad. Lazy's great. Teachers lazy's aren't fantastic. Lazy.
And teachers are not lazy.
So it's like two assumptions that don't make any sense together. It's like, all right, well, I wish. I would push for that. I will protest for 4 seasons off.
Yeah.
Yeah, completely. For everybody, but also especially for teachers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll protest, honestly, like, I would protest for 4 seasons off for K-12 teachers, even if college teachers weren't included. I just want people to not be working. I don't want people to work.
Just keep...
I'm like a... Mm-hmm. I'm entering my Graeber phase of anarchy and hate job.
Yes.
And other people should also not be working. Nobody should work.
Yeah.
Post-work, luxury communism, whatever that phrase is.
They made my friend, I just heard from somebody who teaches at a different private university, and they made him teach on Labor Day, which was yesterday.
Yeah. Because
they didn't want to fuck up their amount of classes in case COVID makes them take a break again halfway through the semester. And I was just like, man,
fucking that's hell. Fucked up. Oh my God.
Labor Day is the day that we get off. It's our one day.
Like, yeah.
It's more like teachers are now quietly pushing for our one day that we already get off.
Yeah. It's taking everything I have to not just be angry all the time at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I turn to websites like the Babylon Bee to keep my spirits up.
For levity.
Yeah. All right. So what I've got here, actually, let me hit you with some visual humor. I'll send it into the group chat.
Wait, I got one. I remember one. I don't know if this is Babylon Bee, but it was one of them said, I saw a headline that was like, Democrats refuse to drink water because it's also prescribed to horses because people here have been taking horse medicine.
I was going to say, yeah. We need to bring up the horse paste.
And I have a headline for it. I've got one for it. I've got a punch up for that.
Uh-huh.
It's just Toby Keith featuring Willie Nelson, Beer for My Horses. I got a parody ready to go.
Yeah.
And it's just this. We raise up our glasses against evil forces, singing, horse pace for my men and none for my horses.
That's very good.
This fucking guy on Twitter said that fucking that rule people in the rural United States are always take horse medicine, always take veterinary medicine.
I saw this discourse.
Because we don't have access, because we don't have access to human medicine, and so it's normal, and so you should not be mean. I was just like, what the fuck? No, we don't.
That's extremely, listen, extremely strange.
Who told him that?
Well, it's so ridiculously stupid to say.
It's crazy.
Because like,
they're always, do they always say stuff like this? They're always like, you know what? I'm pro rural America, and I'm pro this, and I'm pro that, and I love and respect hillbillies, and guess what? They're subhuman. Like,
that right?
pisses me off so bad. That is not, you are not on my side if you're calling me a goddamn dog that takes dog pills, man.
Like, I'm pro-rural with the
elitist imagination of, like, rural people like living in the mud and like eating shit out of the ground. And it's just like, no, if you want rural people to have better medical access, like this is not the way to fucking do it.
Because like people just don't take it. If they don't have medicine, they just don't take it. They just do without and just suffer. But yeah. This guy's got to be like, oh, they do the best they can. They go and fuck themselves up because they're dumb as shit and ugly as mud fence. You know, like just like being really, really horrible.
And then it's like, okay, so when it's time to legislate, all of the people who have the capacity to improve rural medical access are like, well, those people are used to fucking sucking shit and dying early. So we don't have to do anything for them because they like it that way. Right. And it's like, no, like sometimes, like when I was a kid, right? I saw a mountaintop removal site, mm-hmm. and it's just like flat. They just take the flat off the mountain, and they also shave down the sides. So it's really creepy. It looks like an artificial mesa, right? Uh-huh. And it's all gray. And I was really sad. This was the first time I'd ever seen something like this, like a big tabletop removing, like a mountaintop removing table style mining project. And like somebody told me, like, there's no use in being sad about it. You're not allowed to be sad about it.
Right.
Isn't that your dad that said
Somebody did. I don't know if it was my dad, but it was somebody.
Somebody.
Don't cut me off here on this one. Don't try to undercut me on this.
Pure feelings.
This is one. Listen, it could have been my dad or it could have been anybody. It was some older man of some kind in my life. And the reason why I can't remember which one it was is because that's just how mountain people talk. That's how a lot of people talk. Mm-hmm. And it's how people talk. But it's not really how people think necessarily. And it's not really how people are. It's just the way that we have to talk in order to like survive.
Right.
In order to like be treated with any kind of dignity or respect. Mm-hmm. But then when it was time to start fracking, all I heard was people saying like, well, they were okay with mountaintop removal.
Right. Right.
So no one is going to argue with this.
Right.
And like, A lot of people only say that they can survive, they're okay with something, because it's the only thing they're really allowed to say, and it's the only thing anyone says about them. And if you move outside of that and say, I don't want to take horse medicine, I deserve to be able to have medicine in a less than 3-hour drive away from me.
Right.
Then you start to sound like you're the wrong kind of rural person.
They say, yeah.
You're legislating against you. That's what's been on my mind.
Yeah, apparently so. Well, I sent some visual humor to the group, which is it's a real turn of feeling.
I saw that. Okay, there is something funny about this, which is how the guy's mouth is.
Yeah, which is what I think these guys do look like a hipster kind of with a manicured beard. They often do have a little circle for a mouth where they're kind of like that. And so what I like about this is that there's one joke and there's like 19 versions of it. Mm-hmm. How to identify a peaceful protester. And then it's an arrow, peaceful scowl of justice. And then he looks angry. And then peaceful slogans. And the sign is kill all cops. And then screams word of peace at everyone. It's just, the joke is this stuff is not peaceful. And it's said 19 times. I'd also call Che Guevara a dictator, which I don't think is quite right.
It also is sarcastically calling the hammer and sickle a symbol of peace, but it is a symbol. Like it is.
Yeah, it's like
right.
Or maybe not exactly of peace, but it's a positive. It's intended to be a positive symbol.
Uh huh. So. And then there's what, hands peacefully covered in other people's blood, like.
that was funny.
That's pretty funny.
But there's a joke there, and they miss it by a long shot.
Yeah,
that's what I like about this one, and that's what I like about the one I want to read to you, because it has one joke that it just hits over and over again, just drives the nail straight through the wood. Here we go. It's called Riot Police Unsure If Their Tear Gas Worked Since Libs Were Already Crying. Is that good?
So far so good.
Uh-huh.
Classic.
And then it's got a photo of a guy in a yellow shirt and glasses who's crying, and there's gas all around him. And that says,
same guy?
No, it doesn't have a beard.
Oh, this guy's a green shirt. Okay.
Yeah. It says, riot police used tear gas on the Portland mayor and protesters last night, which is crazy because they were just trying to warm themselves by a harmless fire they started in a federal building. Okay, so there's a joke in there. Harmless fire in a federal building. That's a good gag, right? That's where they're hitting us. Then we get into the real meat of the piece. But the riot police soon encountered a problem. If they weren't able to tell if their tear gas was even effective, since the libs were already crying uncontrollably before they were hit with the tear gas. So it's kind of a repeat of the headline joke.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But then it goes to a direct source. Liberals are always shedding tears, so how do we tell if it even worked? Asked one confused federal agent after firing another can into the crowd. Seems like this would be pretty redundant. And then, next paragraph, the liberal tears continued to flow, whether or not police fired gas into the crowd.
There it is again.
So it's kind of the same joke again, right? And then it says, finally, the police shrugged and left the protest since the protesters just kept crying. So it's kind of the same joke again.
So the protesters win in the end.
Yeah.
It seems like the protesters win by crying.
Weirdly,
it seems like it's
weirdly
a good protest strategy.
Yeah,
it's a pro-crying piece.
It's a pro-crying strategy.
And then the final line is, mission accomplished, I guess, said one officer. Hey, Carl, want to go kidnap some Antifa thugs?
What? So it's weird because it's like they're using language that you would not expect people who are like pro police violence to use. Like, we're gonna, they gassed them and then they kidnapped them.
Yeah.
Those are good things. Like, it sounds like it could honestly almost go either way. This could almost be a liberal comic.
That's kind of what I feel as well. Like, the only thing that gives it away is like the Antifa. As like a noun, or like Antifa thug is like a single noun, like describing a group of people. Like, that's the only giveaway to me that this is just like a right-wing person that doesn't really get what's happening. Except for having like 7 jokes in the article and 5 of them being like absolutely identical to one another.
Yeah.
That's another giveaway for me.
And that's a little bit the right not being funny, but it is also kind of the Onion style.
Yeah.
Little bit.
Credit where credit's due, saying the punchline over and over and over again.
Well, yeah, because you're not supposed to read the article.
You're supposed to see the headline.
Yeah,
that's what I realized. Like, you know, like the articles,
they're just meant to like make it look like a newspaper.
Yeah. They're like aesthetic to have text there, but you're not meant to read it. But I did read the text of another one, an article called "Study Finds Most Americans Trust Dr. Pepper Over Dr. Fauci."
Okay, that's funny.
That's just funny.
Oh, it's not that. Well, I do feel like Dr. Pepper is a pretty easy
Dr. Pepper being a doctor is a funny, is a go-to old man joke.
Yeah.
And you haven't even seen the article yet.
Oh, okay.
You don't even know what you're in for and you're already finding it funny. Dr. Pepper has 23 delicious flavors that combine into a cool, refreshing taste that's just
correct,
said Texan man Greg Bola. Dr. Fauci has none of these things. He can't even give you diabetes, for crying out loud.
Oh, no.
Guy's got no flavors.
Do you think that's funny?
I kind of do.
For me, this is funny because you don't really want diabetes.
No.
But Dr. Pepper is a sugary drink and not really a doctor. And so it could actually give you diabetes. So there's 3 jokes there. But Dr. Fauci is a human man.
Yeah.
And a doctor who could help you. 5th joke, but you can't drink him. 6th joke. Unlike Dr. Pepper, 7th joke. A Mobius strip of humor.
Yes.
No,
just
this is
constant
one that,
rotation.
Much like Dr. Pepper itself, like if you really sit down with it, you've got at least 23 jokes.
Yeah. Maybe that's what they were going for.
You could put that in the Onion also.
Yeah.
I think you could, because they could just turn it into a joke about Texan people not trusting.
Yeah.
There's like,
right?
Doctors.
There's no indication that you agree with the guy or not, that you're supposed to agree with him or whatever.
Yeah.
He's smart or not smart.
Maybe they all draw from the same pool. Everyone submits it to the same thing and then people just kind of like drag
them
out.
Oh boy, that would go all the way to the top.
Yeah, that would be a real conspiracy. I mean, imagine you're like a writer, right? And you work for all of them.
Yeah.
And you're just like, okay, I'm going to make this joke. And all I have to do is Mad Libs out what you're supposed to feel when you see it. Like, are you the crying liberal? Are you the marauding police officer or whatever? Like, you just swap them out.
Yeah.
And then you just pitch that one liberal tears thing like 6 times. You pitch it to Clickhole and just make all the words look silly.
Yeah.
Just leave all the vowels out.
Misspell everything.
Now, Clickhole has my favorite headline of all time, though.
What is
it? Which is, so a couple years ago, there was a like a nationwide lottery Powerball, and the jackpot got like really, really, really high.
Mm-hmm.
And so everyone was talking about Powerball for a while. And Clickhole had a post that said, "Let us not forget the original Powerball," with a picture of the sun.
That's good shit.
That's real good shit.
That's extremely good.
Yeah. It's elegant. Elegant.
Yeah.
Well, I've got my last one here. And I really like this one. It's AOC says how she accidentally glued her face to a coffee table is a clear failure of capitalism. And I like
See,
that one.
Okay. I like that one too. That's a little funny. Well, also because her thing is skincare, right?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, she's always posting about her skincare.
I think she does Instagram lives and stuff with that kind of
so
thing.
So it's funny because gluing your face to a coffee table would not be good skincare.
Bad skincare.
It would be bad. Okay, so there's a way in which this is not just like a general joke about people who are anti-capitalist, but a specific joke about AOC.
The thing is, if AOC accidentally glued her face to a desk,
well, also
the
it's
funniest thing
a woman
she could
who gorilla glued her hair.
Yeah, right.
Oh yeah,
that was a failure of capitalism.
Yeah, that was.
But if AOC did accidentally glue her face to something, the funniest thing she could do. is say that it was a clear failure of capitalism.
Believe
that would be
me.
The funniest fucking thing in the world. That would be awesome. If you do something embarrassing and then say it's a clear failure of capitalism, that will make me laugh. That is
and particularly that
idea.
Phrase, I think. Not like, yeah. Fucking capitalism, but like, just
this
patiently describe this is a clear failure of capitalism.
I'm going to start doing that.
That's funny as hell.
I want to start doing it too. Because I already kind of do it. Like, if I walk into a wall, I'm like, like, who the fuck designed this? I'll try to blame some big thing like that. So I want to bring that into my everyday lexicon. This
well,
is a clear
I got a rip in
capitalism.
My pants today. That's a clear
that
failure
was a,
of capitalism.
That's actually a failure
actually
of capitalism.
Is.
That is a clear failure of capitalism, right? Fast fashion, not being able to deal
pants.
With the wear tear in everyday life.
Well, it reminds me of the other great classic memes of thanks Obama.
Oh yeah,
for something
yeah.
that couldn't possibly
one.
Be Obama's fault. What
That's
I really
true.
Like, if I get cut off in traffic, I'll quietly say to myself, "So much for the tolerant left."
Yes.
The left lane of traffic. That's one of my favorite. That's a little gag that's just for me.
Oh, that's but, such a good little gag. Such a good private pleasure. I want to drive a car just so I can say it to myself.
Yeah.
I really like that phrase too. Well, anyway, that's the Babylon Bee for the week. There's no room to really punch anything up, I don't think, here.
No, because it's just like, I mean, I just still don't get the Hunter Biden one. I don't get it.
I don't know. I don't
fucking
understand.
I feel like I'm
missing
a piece of information.
Yeah. I think the absence of humor is a clear failure of capitalism.
Yeah.
Definitely.
That's true. That's
and Joe Biden
true.
Is kind of like, I feel like Joe Biden, he's a real uniter, a uniter of scorn.
Yeah. Man, we were behind this car the other day.
They were so angry.
It was covered in bumper. This is before Joe Biden pulled out of Afghanistan, right? So he had not done anything even mildly controversial up to this point. He'd barely done a single thing. Covered in like I hate Joe Biden bumper stickers, guns.
Wouldn't it be great if Joe Biden was dead and then like a
gun bumper stickers pointing at Joe.
And it's funny because if you were far away, it looked like they were a pro Joe Biden car because it would always be like Biden in really big letters and like looking like Biden
Some
stickers.
Of them were
like, God damn, that person really likes Joe Biden. That's
and guns.
Weird.
That's
and then you get a little closer, and it was like, God damn, that person really hates Joe Biden. That's weird. Like, it's like the same.
There is this great unity with this, because there was a lot of, like, liberals and, like, resistance people wearing MAGA hats that were, like, anti-Trump. But from a distance, just like, oh, it's
it
a
looks
fucking
like,
MAGA
guy.
Same thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like...
I went to a flea market today, and there were a lot of Trump paraphernalia stands.
Uh-huh.
And there was one that had a tiny little handwritten sign that was like, fuck Biden flags upon request. And it's like, you have to call in.
They don't do good enough. They don't do good enough for us to bring them out to the flea market, but we do have them.
They are accessible.
Yeah. It was a great flea market.
What, you've been to a flea market already? And it's midday?
Not today. No.
Oh, I thought you said today.
Oh, no, the other day. I went to a flea market today and flea market today and
flea market today and
yeah, a couple today? Days ago.
Yeah, Saturday.
Sorry, I just got really mad
today
about that.
Today is Tuesday, but I know you did. Whoa.
You found a hole in that story. It's like, yeah,
found
a flea market on a Tuesday.
Isn't it such a tragedy to go to a flea market on a Tuesday?
Oh, no.
Yeah, I've been to flea markets on their off days just to get food, and they're very sad. Very, very grim.
Yeah.
Did you see that poem, Lachlan?
No.
Did you see the What a Tragedy of a Monday poem?
No.
So, The New Yorker published a poem by this fellow, who I don't know personally, but he knows a lot of people I know, and is kind of, in my opinion, a little bit of a hack.
Uh-huh.
So, this is the poem that the New Yorker magazine published as a shining example of a new voice in American poetry. Okay. It's called Monday.
Okay.
Doesn't it bother you sometimes what living is, what the day has turned into? So many screens and meetings and things to be late for. Everyone truly deserves a flute of champagne for having made it this far. Though it's such a disaster to drink on a Monday. Now, I would challenge you to punch this one up.
Yeah.
I think we need to keep Everyone Deserves a Flute of Champagne. I think that's the real centerpiece of this poem, and I would like that to be kept.
Okay.
But I'm not, like, poetry is extremely far from my strength.
Lucky for you, Jess has a pre-punched up version in the oven, like on a cooking show where they turn around and they pull it out.
Right, and they've got the recipe cooked at like seven different stages. We've got the whole thing at the end. The full batch of cookies.
Pyrex for you.
Feed us up.
Steaming goodness.
Feed us up the cookies, Jess.
Okay, so now my new challenge to you now is to imagine who you think would have written this poem. Doesn't it bother you sometimes what living is, what the day has turned into? So many screens and meetings and things to be late for. Everyone truly deserves a lasagna for having made it this far. Though it's such a disaster to eat on a Monday.
So who's the poet?
Well, Garfield famously loves lasagna and hates Mondays, right?
Yes, he does.
But I would have thought that would have meant that he definitely eats lasagna on a Monday. Like, that would be the only way to get through it, rather than it being a tragedy to eat on a Monday.
Garfield's on his Zoom with the fuzzy background, eating lasagna, hating this Monday.
And I like to think that the lasagna is behind the fuzzy background, so you can just see, like, a hand coming in and him chewing, but you can't see what he's eating.
Yeah.
He's in his
by
little box,
hole.
You know how he puts his
he gets all snug.
He's on his Zoom.
And then he gets yeeted out the window. I don't know if that's a reference that's useful for either of you, but there's my favorite Twitter page at the moment is a person who's just like takes Garfield cartoons and then puts the final shot of the cartoon as Garfield like falling out a window. So it'll just be him doing something. I ate Mondays, and then he explodes out the window, and then he's like, he goes to like, I don't know, clean his teeth, and then he explodes out the window. It's very satisfying every time.
That's good.
This mutt's going into orbit.
Oh boy, should we get into some parody songs?
Yeah, I guess we should.
Yeah, I got one for you, but it has no good comments. No funny comments at all.
Interesting.
Trash. Total trash, but I still want to talk about it.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to tell you the story, and that's going to be it. It's going to be the comments. The one that I chose for this week is a song called Jesus Ranch by Tenacious D.
Taking a walk in the woods. Fuck yeah! It's nice. Very, very nice. Smells of shit. Look a gwingly gwingly go. I come upon a silver ripe mushroom and a fly.
Total nonsense song on the surface. The lyrics are that they go to a ranch, they eat a big tomato, smells like shit, they eat a mushroom, and they go flying through the woods. So the context is, did you ever see the Tenacious D show?
No.
You know, but you know, like, the Flight of the Conchords show?
Yeah.
So, Tenacious D show, is a short running show on HBO in the late 90s that was like that style.
Ska. Oh, wow.
Maybe didn't start that style, but kind of did. Where they go through a little bit of a misadventure. Yeah, the monkey. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of parody bands.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
So it's a monkey's style show where they have a little misadventure. And then at the end of the episode, they go to an open mic night and they play a song about what happened that day. And it's one of their songs, one of the songs on their album. And they have a fucking Waco episode. Like a Waco siege episode. So to catch everybody in the world up, 1993, a group of Seventh-day Adventists broke off and formed their own church called the Branch Davidians. Then, in its absence of leadership,
you have to say why they're called the Branch Davidians.
Why are they called the Branch Davidians?
Wasn't there someone named...
We're going to get there.
All
right. I didn't know if you had an inline line, because... Just for record, this is all misinformation. This is just shit I remember from growing up in the 90s. This is not research. This is just shit I remember, and it's a little bit of Wikipedia and TV.
Mm-hmm.
So this is all misinformation. If you base your identity on this and then get embarrassed, that's not on me. I have made my disclaimer. You all have informed consent. So, all right, there's this absence of leadership in this new cult, right? And there's all these prophets that come forward, and they all say, I have this some magic power that should make me the prophet. One dude in particular is like, all right, challenges one of his rivals and says, if you are the true prophet, you should raise this recently deceased member of our church back from the dead. And the guy takes the challenge. He's like, I'm a prophet. I believe I'm a prophet. I'm going to go do this. He goes to the spot. They get the body, dig the body up, and he's about to do this ritual to try to bring the guy back from the dead. And then prophet number one calls the cops, reports the rival for digging up the body, and he gets his ass thrown in jail.
Oh.
That dude then changes changes his name to David Koresh and becomes the leader of the Branch Davidians, the David in question. So David Koresh then starts this compound.
Played by Taylor Kitsch.
Played by Taylor Kitsch, who you might remember as the guy in Friday Night Lights who inexplicably says sorry, like the Canadian guy. But otherwise, it's supposed to have like an East Texas accent. Uh-huh. Okay, so, all right. This guy starts his compound, the ATF, Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms.
Mm-hmm.
Unit thinks he's stockpiling weapons, which he is.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a suspicion that he's abusing underage members of the church as well, mm-hmm.
which he
definitely is.
Right.
And then ATF does this siege throughout 93 where they use sonic warfare.
Right.
For maybe the first time. Part of the sonic warfare they use is Tibetan chanting, which is like really fucking shitty to me. Like, you guys had to be racist in your sonic weaponry. You put Tibetan chanting in your like evil sounds.
Yeah. There's a huge assortment of evil sounds profile. Coming out of the United States. Just draw on that pool, right?
You could get a monkey with a pecan pie and record him.
That's true.
Yeah.
Probably evil sounds.
Everyone get hungry and leave. Like,
and then, but there are all these stories about how the Branch Davidians fought the sonic warfare, right? Mm-hmm. That they fought, they had their fight in sonic warfare as well. Some people say the FBI said that they played recordings back at the FBI, mm-hmm. but people who were inside the compound, and this is the story that gets to the Waco TV show with Taylor Kitsch, reported that he just played electric guitar at them. David Koresh played his own music
right.
back at the FBI. This version of the story ends up in an episode of the Tenacious D show in 97, where they go to a ranch because they're going on tour. They have a tour show.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this ranch where everybody is using human shit to grow really big tomatoes or really big potatoes.
Oh, yeah.
And then the ATF comes and swarms the compound, and they're sieging them, and the Tenacious D drives them away by rocking really hard on their guitars.
Yeah.
Then at the end of the episode, it's revealed that they play this song, and one of the guys playing the ATF officers is Jay Johnson, who may have been involved at the siege on January 6th of our actual U.S. government.
Oh, what the fuck?
So the story, as it is to me, is that the Waco Siege happened, the Waco Siege slash massacre happened. Then Tenacious D did an episode where they just recreate it almost scene for scene, and nobody seems to notice or is bothered by this. And then one of the guys in that episode then actually, sieges the U.S. government. So, allegedly.
Allegedly.
Maybe.
So this is a very busy context, but there's no comment.
The comments are all like, this is my favorite Tenacious D song, or their harmonies are so great, or KG is an underappreciated, which are all true, but it's like, nobody in here is going to talk about how this song is about Waco. Like, this is one of like the most weird, fucked up things that happened in the 90s.
Yeah.
And they just did a whole parody of it, and nobody seems to notice or care. I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Do you feel like then they feel like they shouldn't talk about it, or just folks don't know that story? Wait, what is happening?
I feel like, I mean, I didn't know what Waco was until the movie was. I mean, I knew Waco was something bad that happened in Texas.
I knew about it in Australia. Like, people were talking about it.
Yeah, I just didn't, like, until the film with Taylor Kitsch came out. Which was very cool. Pro-Branch Davidians.
Yeah, it's pretty pro. It's pretty pro-branch.
It's weird because it's like, yeah, but also.
Well, it's like, you know how people say, like, history is written by the winners? This is kind of true, but it's also like, if the ATF hadn't killed all those people, then there wouldn't be, like, really positive Netflix series or, like, positive memoirs written about the Branch Davidians.
Right.
Because he was running, like, a cult,
yeah.
A sovereign state cult.
Right.
Where he was abusing minors.
Right.
I think.
Right.
That's how I understand.
He was, like,
the story.
Married to a 12-year-old girl.
So,
yeah.
They would never be a good version of the story if the ATF hadn't.
Right.
Kind of fumbled that ball.
So they generated that Netflix series, which is all about the guy that's mediating, right? Like that's trying to kind of lower the temperature. It's a very nice liberal story about us all talking properly and getting along and
yes.
Problems being solved.
They also generated the story on the Tenacious D show.
Yeah.
This is a lot of interesting history. Vaguely orbiting music. And this is a music podcast.
It's music history. I would say that's music history. It's the dark side of music history. And then also the dumb side.
And so the parody is of Waco?
It fucking hits, dude. It's an awesome. It's their best song.
Oh, yeah.
Down. Yeah.
Oh, I've never even heard it. I've never.
That's the thing.
Heard the big one.
It never gets on the album. It hasn't been on any albums. It's just like secret, man. It's a secret treasure.
Well, I'm going to look this up. I'm going to listen to it afterwards and I'll verify with you what I think of it.
It also has the video of them performing it has Jack Black playing air guitar while he has a guitar.
Over his own guitar.
That's really good.
Funny as shit.
Oh, this is good. And this connects with something that I would have mentioned in my song as well. So
awesome.
Call for a call back.
In a funny how the night moves.
I think I mentioned, but I chose the song Bloke by Chris Franklin.
I'm a bloke, I'm a yobbo, and me best mate's name is Robbo. Winfield is me cigarette. I dress in flannelette, share a singlet that is blue. Throw in a few tattoos, you know you.
Which is a parody of the song Bitch by Meredith Brooks that came out and. Or the Australian version came out in like the early 2000s, I think, like several years after Bitch came out, which shows the kind of creative dexterity that we're working with back home. There's a lot of racism in this comment thread, as is probably unsurprising for an Australian song. But there, I picked out a couple of good comments here. We got Panino Aurora says, "I love how this is kind of a parody of Bitch." And then,
and then
Brince Wynn says, "If by kind of you mean this is 100% a parody of Bitch, I can't believe it's being questioned. Then sure,
yeah, get her.
Yeah, yeah." And then somebody, Deputy Lizard, says, "The main riff sounds quite Oriental." And then Michael Darklighter says, "It's a song from the early 90s called Bitch. I can't remember who sang it. I'm a bitch. I'm a lover. I'm a child. I'm a mother. He just put new lyrics over the top of it."
Oh, they're all learning what parody is.
Yeah, in real time. This is a conversation from 6 or 7 years ago, so maybe folks are on top of it by now. We've got Damalism here says, look, I think this song/video is effing funny, but I'm sure there are some people who think this song sets back the Australian movement 500 years.
What's the Australian movement?
I'm not sure. Australia's a country is only like 121 years old, 120 years old, so we'd be negative 380.
Yeah, I imagine there's a lot that politically there's a pretty big movement to set Australia back 500 years.
Yeah, if that means like
right back to before.
Yeah, like decolonizing it potentially, but there's none of that in the song. The song is
is
kind of the opposite of that.
Are they saying oh, this makes Australians look bad on the international stage or something?
Yeah, I think so. That makes us look kind of silly.
This is going to take away our Eurovision.
Yeah, they're going to kick us out of Eurovision because we're too bogan. All right, then we've got Sly at 1981 here, who over a series of 5 years has the same idea. So we've got 3 years ago, he says, the most Australian-looking Sheila in the world plays his girlfriend. And then 5 years ago says, the woman they got for his girlfriend is so Australian looking. You could watch this with the sound turned off and instantly tell she's Aussie.
Oh, man.
And then 8 years ago, the woman who plays his girlfriend is very Australian looking. You could watch this in another country without sound and instantly tell she's Australian. Also, I love how the guy pretends to play guitar with his cricket bat. Such an Australian thing to do.
There you go. Wait, I gotta see this lady.
Yeah, I have a picture of her in my mind.
I did look it up as well and like paid attention to when she appeared on the screen. I like maybe that's what Australian. It's just like a whole bunch of white people and then a very famous. I forgot the guy's name, but a really famous Australian actor who is a Vietnamese refugee. So everyone's white except for this Vietnamese guy. But you tell me if she still looks Australian.
Sweet
mullet. Is this Chris Franklin bloke?
This is a Chris Franklin bloke.
Is that her?
She's blonde.
She's got the back of the head.
Okay,
here.
So I was imagining a contemporary Australian woman.
So this is an Australian from the year 2000.
Yeah.
Wait.
I'm just realizing now the woman I'm imagining is the Australian girlfriend from Flight of the Conchords.
Wait,
so.
Is it this? You're not going to be able to see this. Is it this lady here?
I think so. Yeah, that's her. That's her.
Oh, that is kind of what I think.
That is kind of, I like, yeah, I could see that.
Just like blonde, straight hair, kind of healthy looking.
Yeah. But very, very like aggressive expressions. Like,
yes,
I feel like Australians have very aggressive expressions. So you approve?
She's making a very aggressive expression in the screenshot that Kip's found. Yes, please send it to me so I can put it in our liner notes.
I know that Flight of the Conchords episode you're referring to. It's very funny. The woman's like, my mom says I sound like Marilyn Monroe or something like that.
Her name is like Carly. No, it's like, oh, what is it?
Is it Carol?
No, it's like a name that sounds like a name, but it's got like a couple extra R's in it.
Is it Brabra?
Oh, is it Brabra?
Like,
it might be.
But not Barbara, like Brabra.
Australian girlfriend, here we go. Keitha.
That's so good.
Keitha.
We were talking about if we have a girl baby, we're going to name her Buckingham.
Yeah. just name her after Bucky.
That's really good. But the kids will tease her.
Oh yeah,
Buckingham.
That's good though. You don't want to be an adult that was never teased.
Oh, I completely agree.
Those people are weird.
Yeah, completely agree.
And like, if you get teased for your name, that's like one of the like chiller things to be teased about.
Yeah,
yeah.
Especially if it's just like you're a white person with a weird name.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. If you're just like a white person with a name,
really, we're protecting her from being teased about other things about her.
So yeah, you set up like a straw person to attack, right, with the name,
yeah.
In order to distract from everything else.
Yeah, I'm sure she's gonna be fucking weird. Like, there's no question about that.
That's the whole reason why white people name their kids things like Braylee and stuff like that. You know what I mean? It was like, it's to get it out of the way, and then you can do whatever you want.
Did you get to my name's Lachlan Summers. I used to be called Cochlan Bummers at school.
Oh, that's good.
That's very that's solid. Funny. Did you have any like that?
No, I was teased for other deep-rooted things about myself. again, I have an aggressively normal name.
That's the danger.
That's it, right?
Like, it doesn't get more normal than Jessica.
Yeah. What about Kip? Kip's a...
I don't know. I don't think I really got... I don't remember getting teased for my name.
Hmm.
Somebody posted on Twitter the other day, like, here's some fun nicknames from where I grew up, and it was all these cool names, like Hawkeye, and Cornbread,
Cornbread,
and shit like that, and like Dog Pound, and I was like, yeah, cool, I bet I can remember some fun nicknames from where I grew up, but there's only one dude I know who has a nickname, and his nickname is just Big.
Big?
That's it. Big, and that's it. That's the whole nickname. Well, not like Big Dog or Big Cornbread or something. Just Big. Everybody else is either everyone's called Big Guy or Little Boy, and there's like it.
What about Tiny Dog?
Tiny Dog. Yeah, I had one friend who called me Tiny Dog for a while because I had this little tiny dog that I was looking after. And he was like, "You know what, man? You're a tiny dog."
What? Oh, wow. Look at that. Jess, what you should do, well, I think it would be a good gag if I had a more common name. Say if I was you and I was signing off an email, I'd be like, from Jessica, and then in brackets write Jess, and I think that would be really funny. Just like the most obvious nickname and put it in brackets next to your name. So maybe you can do that in your job. But yeah,
you should say love Lachlan, and then brackets.
Just keep the full name. Yeah. All right.
You're not supposed to sign off with best anymore. Everybody gets mad at you now.
I just don't sign any. I just don't write anything.
Sincerely, they say, comes off insincere. Best said it comes off mean. Warmly comes
sounds
off
cold.
Cold.
Warmly it's sounds crazy. Cold. Best. Best is short for I am the best. And so I like that.
I am the best. Yeah.
I used to write "take care," but I do that. I think it right because yeah. It's like take care of yourself. But then someone said it sounded passive aggressive.
Yeah, like
there's no
you're
way.
Saying,
not
you're saying there's something wrong with me. Like the
yeah.
I should be.
Are you saying
care
that I need to be careful?
Am I fucked up?
Are you threatening me?
It's just emails of shit.
I think that's
what
why.
About sleep tight.
Sleep tight.
Sleep
ooh,
tight.
That's good. Sleep
oh,
tight.
Oh, that's very sinister.
Sleep tight.
Sweet dreams.
Sweet dreams.
No, how about this? Okay. I'll find you.
I wish we could do, like, if you were sending, like, a serious email, you could do, like firmly.
Yeah.
Instead of warmly.
Yeah.
Keep it as an adverb. Firmly, like stiffly, like
just so you know the tone.
Yeah,
stiffly.
Lachlan.
Cochlan.
Brackets.
Bummers.
Lachlan. Yeah. Stiffly. Cochlan Bummers. In brackets. Lachlan.
If I ever get a permanent job that I feel safe in, I feel like I'm gonna start opening my. I want to start opening my emails with, "Let us pause from life's pleasure." And then just email.
But what was the other one?
That's good.
That guy who wrote to everyone to tell them about.
Oh, yeah. This guy wrote an email to everyone, and it was
like
I hope
every faculty member in Oberlin.
Oh.
And it was like, I hope this email causes you distress. Oh, man.
That's good.
I gotta see if I can find that one. I might not can, but. But yeah, I was like, I hope this email causes you... Ah! I write with what I hope is a sobering report. Dear colleagues, I write with what I hope is a sobering report. That's what I'm going to start.
Ah, oh, that's start such a good email opening.
I write with ill tidings.
Yeah.
What? Like that email, and an email that announces itself. That's so good. Rather than being like, oh, I hope it's all okay when it gets here, and be like, no, the email has arrived and you better stop what you're doing.
It's not, it's like, you know, with some people, like, I hope this email finds you well. It's like, this email has found you. It is not finding you well.
Yeah. This like, email I'm has sought you, you out in particular.
Which, yeah. Now that you have read this, it's like, dear colleagues, now that you have read this opening, you have 7 days to live. And then, happy hunting!
Sweet dreams. Cocoa mamas. Well, if folks want to receive these emails from us, they can email us at whoelseislistening@gmail.com. Receive these email greetings and sign-offs, and also request genres and songs for us to take care of. Oh, we haven't announced that in like a year and a half, which was like three episodes ago.
And now it's time for a commercial break.
Which one?
Bruce Bear's Weekend Cruise.
Oh, yeah.
We came up with some commercials.
Oh, yeah.
If they don't have fudge in heaven, you can send me right back down to Earth where they got good fudge in all kinds of flavors.
This is a callback.
Fudge and knife shows cover bridges, all the things that you can't get in heaven ever since you got raptured. Hey, are you in heaven? Did you get raptured while you were eating your fudge? You can't even finish your fudge? Take a weekend cruise, and we'll take you right back down to Earth, where you can have everything you don't get to have in fudge. All the best contraband, like fudge, knife shows, covered bridges, and so much more. At the end of the weekend, we take you back to the pearly gates, but you can't bring your knives in there.
Oh, the fudge. Well, why covered bridges?
Fudge. Now,
covered bridges are always haunted.
They're haunted as shit, dude. You think you get to go to heaven if you die in a covered bridge?
Okay.
They're all haunted. Every single one is haunted.
That's true. They are. That's canon.
There's two places like where God can't see you. All right? God can't see you in a strip club or inside a covered bridge.
Mm.
It's like how the devil can't see you in church.
Right. I've been to a covered bridge and they are, like, I went to the one in Felton that you might know have seen. That's haunted.
Yep.
Yeah. I spent a month there one day. But does this mean we've finished my set? Because I have one more I want to read. Or
I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We just got you kind of just like, get done. There's a whole bunch of angry ones, but I'm going to skip them. This, I think, is the theme for this season. And so I wanted to read this out. That gamer guy says, this was filmed a few minutes walk from where I live. And the Velvet Fog says, no, it wasn't.
Yes. Yeah. Get wrecked, dude.
So good. And then this is my favorite one. Jared Turley, 5 years ago, he says, only some Aussies are like that. I'm not, but then again, I'm only a kid.
There's still time.
This person has this really strong sense that at some point, just like flick it on a light, like you just turn into a bogan in Australia and like, yeah, he's right. Like, you should be worried about that. Okay, that's me for bitch. Do we have another advertisement? Let's get back into it.
I think we did all our advertisements.
Well, it's our old Smithfield one. They're not our sponsor anymore.
We lost that sponsorship. As it turns out, we never had it.
Smithfield have. I was reading
they're
about...
They're bad.
They're super bad. Like, they were responsible for swine flu here in Mexico.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, they were the farms that were doing it. All of their practices made sure that it spread everywhere.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we don't want anything to do with them.
Yeah.
We're pro ham, but anti Smithfield ham.
Yeah, we're an anti Smithfield podcast.
Mm-hmm. We had some kind of replacement, the Lamborghini of ham, but I forget what it was.
Oh, that's right. Was it
the Lamborghini of ham?
Yeah, it would have been in one of the show notes at one point.
Yeah. Really, really, folks, buy any ham but Smithfield.
Yeah.
They don't have ham in heaven.
They definitely don't have ham in heaven.
Oh, yeah? You don't think ham would make it to heaven?
No.
Is ham a haunted meat?
It's not kosher.
I don't know if ham's haunted. It just doesn't seem like...
I just feel like the amount of people that don't eat ham for religious reasons suggests that there's something about ham that would not let you go.
That's true.
Yeah, there's some kind of historical consensus forming.
Something about
like,
it. It's a statistically significant amount of religious people are not eating ham.
Yeah, and at some point there must have been some kind of decision, right? That there's like two very equivalent people, but one of them has eaten ham and the other one hasn't. And there must have been like, well, I guess the guy that didn't eat the ham, like, we'll just take him then.
Yeah, you know? Right. And they only
precedent.
Had so many.
Yeah.
They only had so many places, spots in the bus.
Uh-huh.
Also, pigs don't go to heaven either.
Oh, why not?
They just keep growing.
I'm trustworthy. You don't know how big they're going to get.
They get gigantic.
They turn into hogzillers.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Now, best keep them out then.
Yeah.
Down in the covered bridges.
There are titties in heaven, but you're not allowed to sexualize them.
You can't be horny in heaven.
All right.
All horniness happens on Earth.
Uh-huh. You get it all out your system?
You also can't be horny in hell, but in a bad way.
Yeah, it's like Hellraiser horny.
Yeah.
It's like you can be horny, but you have to have something
like,
poking through your skin.
Yeah, it's too much.
I still haven't seen, like, once I asked Jess to review a thing that I've written, and then she went on a 65-text spiel about Hellraiser and how, like, I could redo what I've done to make it, like, a Hellraiser parody. And I was like,
yes.
What the fuck is happening? Like, I just wanted you to read a little thing. And I still
don't
know what it is.
That's on you for writing Hellraiser adjacent stuff.
It was nowhere. Oh, like it was vaguely nearby.
Lachlan, I don't remember this at all.
You don't? The website that I made for Cindy LaReeve, where she was a moth.
That's right. Yes, yes, yes.
And then you, like, it was kind of, like, it was relevant. Like, you were kind of like, you could do one about Quentin Williams in which he's Hellraiser. It would look like this and this and that, 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 like that. Like, I just thought you didn't let me know this is funny.
I got excited. You inspired me.
Yeah, it's good.
Well, so, okay. I've been planning for a long time to do a Weird Al song, just go classic.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was just talking about the Monkees.
Wow. We're going to do this live?
Maybe.
People call it monkeying around.
Oh, man, this is going to be the best episode ever. Like, and people would have been thinking about previous episodes as being really smart and challenging and still humble. I'm so humiliated for them.
All right, so this is the Monkees. Hey, hey, we're the Monkees.
Everyone we meet. Hey, hey, we're the Monkees. And people say we're monkeying around, but we're too busy singing to put anybody down.
And if anyone's, there are only 8 comments on this one.
No, let's just do it. Raw Dog, all 8, one after the other.
Okay, Raw Dog, Raw Dog, all 8.
Yeah.
Comments are turned off on this other one, apparently.
Yeah, let's check
all
these
right.
8.
In case you're not familiar with the Monkees, any of our listeners, they were basically a Beatles parody band that came out in the mid to late 60s.
Mm-hmm. And they're from the U.S.,
then,
right?
Like, yeah, yeah. But then became essentially a real band because people liked them.
And they had a TV show.
Okay. Yes, yes. They were. It was based around a TV show.
Oh, that came first, huh?
Yeah, yeah. I think. Again, don't base your...
This is all missing.
This is all
this
me
is
remembering from, like, VH1 Behind the Music that I watched that I wasn't supposed to be watching when I was a latchkey child. the first one, Qué Bonitos Recuerdos de mi Adolescencia.
Adolescencia.
Fue mi primer grupo favorito.
That's pretty straightforward to translate,
yeah.
Right?
that's one. And that's by Juana Sanchez 5 months ago. Then we have Christine, Saved by Grace, who just says, love Jesus, love others.
Uh-huh.
Jesus in all caps.
Okay.
Jesus is in all caps, and it's a little purple heart.
I feel like the Monkees are playing a very small role in this comment.
Yeah.
There's not much. I looked up I'm a Believer, and there's a lot of stuff about Shrek in there. But
oh, yeah.
That's
right.
JMRF says, thank you, gracias, but there's an apostrophe between the A and the S. So
okay.
It's like, gracias. Hillary Kildepstein says, if it weren't for the Monkees, there would be no Partridge Family.
There would be no what?
Partridge Family.
Okay. What's that?
It's very similar to the Monkees, but it's like a family band.
Oh.
And the little kid, there's a little kid in it. It's Danny Bonaducci.
Danny Bonaducci,
little redhead
yeah.
kid. You know Danny Bonaducci?
He became like a reality star again on VH1.
Yeah.
Later in life, I like wrestled. He was on like Celebrity Big Brother and like.
And he's really muscly now. Yeah, he was a little teeny tiny like moped kid. The Partridge Family is like 6 people or something like that, mm-hmm. and they travel in a van together and they do music and they're also a family. And the little kid, the guy who played little kids, enormous. Muscle bound reality star now.
Oh wow,
he's really scary.
Danny Bonaducci.
Yeah. Danny Bonaducci. And then the last comment, which has no likes, from someone named Joe Mattingly, who's a bald fellow with a big beard and what looks to be a pork pie hat, just says, "LOL."
That's a solid comment section.
And that's it. That's my raw dog and the monkeys.
Danny Bonaducci is ripped.
Yeah. It's weird when somebody's a child star and then they get really, really big. It's not as weird as Carrot Top, who just got really big.
Yeah. Let me look up Carrot Top. I know who that is.
Without warning. You seen Jacked Carrot Top?
No, I've never seen Jacked Carrot Top. Let me see. Oh, holy shit.
Yeah, Carrot Top got fucking swole, man.
He's gigantic.
There's also a lot of videos of monkeys to the tune of "We're the Monkeys."
Oh, I see where they're going there with that humor.
Oh God, this is a really horrible one of a dog attacking a baby monkey. I don't want to see that.
Somehow Jess always manages to get on like the weirdest part of YouTube.
Yeah,
it was like
four, the what was
I searched monkeys, the monkeys.
The Grubhub lady gets killed video.
Yeah, I was like, Grubhub lady gets what she deserves. It's like a black screen.
Is it because you keep looking up really weird stuff and so algorithmically you're exposed to the deepest, most depraved corners? That wasn't meant to be mean, sorry. I don't know.
I don't know. No.
I don't think it's because
of... Oh, gosh.
Oh, come on.
Ah!
The screen is a two-faced cat.
Jeez.
On YouTube. So yeah, the algorithm has decided something for her that she did not consent. That's parody.
Well, that's good. That's parody, right?
Hey, we're the monkeys. People say we're monkey around.
Got a two-faced cat now.
You are both very light on comments and very heavy on parody. What's going on here? Our listeners tune in for this stuff. Huh?
Oh, we went too hard into parody, huh?
Yeah. It's true.
We wanted to be on theme.
Yeah. It seems like that's the way it goes, right? Like, we couldn't punch up this humor because it's either so completely full, it's like a plenum of humor, or it's just completely a vacuum of humor. It's either one or the other. I went in, parody meant very little to me, and I just, like, talked about stuff, whereas you led into the parody. So you were more consistent with the theme. So sorry for being rude.
The one thing I will say...
Oh, that's a good sign-off. You're forgiven.
You're forgiven. Yeah.
Oh, that's such a good sign off.
That's good.
Or just, I forgive you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I forgive you. That's good.
I still remember.
Oh. Mm-hmm. I will remember this.
Yeah.
We got a little choppy there. A little choppy.
Yeah.
Did I?
Oh, we're freezing. We're breaking up.
Uh-oh.
How do I look?
Frozen.
We can hear you fine though. You're just kind of.
I'm also not moving at all. So, am I still frozen?
A little bit.
No, I was intentionally freezing myself.
It's like trying to.
Now you're doing a fake.
Yeah, this is the thing that I'm gonna miss. Is that like I could kind of just like when we get out of like quarantine and like talking to people and stuff, I wouldn't be able to be like. And then be like, oh, sorry, the internet's not working. And I can like mime.
Yeah, sorry, like, throw my voice. I don't want to talk to you anymore.
Yeah, and pretend that I'm having internet problems.
Yeah.
I think actually if you're talking to somebody in person and then you just start going, sorry, I'm breaking up. I'm going to have to go. And then you just turn around.
Yeah.
And walk away.
This is so full of visual humor.
They don't have fudge in heaven. You can send me right back down to earth where they got good fudge in all kinds of flavors.
All right, I'm going to stop recording there. I think we got it.
Okay. Yeah.